Good morning. Welcome to our Monday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're going to be talking and praying this week about the powerful word and kind of a follow-up of yesterday's message I shared here at Deer Run, looking at the powerful writing and the powerful opportunity, the powerful reading, and the powerful declaration. And looked at Luke 4 and the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness and his reading scripture and declaring himself to be the fulfillment of that scripture. And how the Word of God, the power of it, helps us to overcome temptation and opposition. And so throughout this week, we'll be talking and praying about various aspects of the powerful word that we have because of God's love for us. And we're going to begin this week with the powerful origin of the word. And why does it have power to begin with? Where did it come from? And what's so special about the Word of God, about the Bible? And the scripture that it contains. 2 Peter 1, verse 21 says, "For prophecy, or God's word, never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Peter writes and wants to make it clear that the things that we find in scripture were not simply made up by people that wanted to prove a point or wanted to make a name for themselves or dreamed up a great idea. But the words that were written down that were passed along to us had an origin within the mind of God, was carried by God's Spirit to individuals who would write it down, who would share it with others, who would make it known. And I think that's important because so often we, and rightly so, become skeptical of various claims when we're not quite sure where they come from. And we've become very good as a human race in creating sources out of nothing to back what we want. And you can turn on any news feed, whether it's television, radio, social media, doesn't really make a lot of difference. And it seems everyone has an expert to support their claims, and their claims always tend to line up with one agenda or another. This isn't a one-sided, they do it poorly and we do it right kind of process. It tends to be the way of life in making our case. And that's the nature of the human flesh that we live in. We want to be right, and we'll go to extreme lengths to prove it. And it's easy, I think, for people, and you've probably heard them, I've heard them, that say, well, that's just what some guy wrote down. The Bible doesn't mean anything to me because some guy wrote that down thousands of years ago, and he has no clue about life today. And so you hear the argument about various topics that, well, that people would rather change. They don't like what the Bible says. They don't view it as authoritative. They don't accept it as God's word. And so it gets dismissed as just a collection of fairy tales, a collection of stories, a collection of ancient history. The list goes on and on as to what people might refer it to as substitutes for referring to it as the inspired word of God. But it's not new. Peter had to address this 2,000 years ago. The same issue we deal with today of people wanting to dismiss the authority of God. It really comes down to that. It's targeted at His Word, but it's really about removing God from a position of authority so we can place ourselves there. I don't know, back in grade school, whether you were involved in this. It was one of the things that we did at grade school. We did it at home. King on the Mountain. And find the anything that would pass as a hill or some sort of elevated place. And we had to get creative at school because there wasn't a lot of those types of things. At home, we tended to always have a pile of sawdust, and my dad and uncle ran a sawmill, and so sawdust was a common commodity, or perhaps a pile of gravel that we hadn't spread out on the drive yet. But one of us would climb to the top, and we would be king until somebody dethroned us. And sometimes as boys and at home, it was typically my brothers and I and my cousins who lived next door, who there were eight of us boys all together between the two families. And it could get a little bit rough because we took that position seriously. And we took wanting that position seriously. And I kind of get the idea that that's similar to what we do with God. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. We would never, well, most of us would never say that that's what we do. But in reality, we live life at various times trying to dethrone God so that we can be king of the mountain. And as a culture, as a human race, getting rid of God's word is one of the tools that we use to try to dethrone Him. And so we gaze into God's word and we read something that we don't like and we decide, well, that was just what Paul said. That was just what Moses wrote down. That was just what Nehemiah wanted. That's just what James said. And Peter comes along, also inspired by God's Spirit. Yeah, his verse, his statement, isn't only about all of the Scripture that they would have had recorded and in their hands available at the moment, which would have been primarily the Old Testament. But it was about all that would be written at that time. It would be about what he was writing down. And we look at that and we have to decide whether we agree. Now, whether we agree or not doesn't change its truthfulness of the statement that all Scripture is God-breathed, that it's useful, it's profitable. It doesn't change the fact that no prophecy came about by human will, but rather by God's Spirit carrying men along that would write it down. Our agreement with that doesn't change it. Our disagreement with it doesn't change it. But rather, we're given that free will of deciding whether we agree or not, and our agreement is shown not by our verbal assent, but by our obedience, by our response to it. And God's desire is that we would be able to gaze into His Word and learn, with the help of His Spirit, the truths that He has for us that apply to our immediate circumstance. God's Word is described by Him as living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide bone and marrow. It's able to separate good and evil. And when we recognize the power of God's Word, we have to recognize the powerful origin. Because if we pass it off as just another collection of good writings, we tend to ignore its authority. We use it according to our human will. We use it to justify what we want. God's desire is that every time that we gaze into His Word, and I recognize that we look at it and some of it gets really complicated. And there's stories that are told that are designed to help us understand the principles of how God wants us to live. There are stories that are told that are designed to give us specific instructions on how to live. And we need God's Spirit to help us to know. This is one of those that the principles apply. This is one of those that the commands apply. We read the parables of Jesus, and we have to remember that some of what He teaches are commands. They're instructions that He gives, and some are parables that He's telling stories with a point, but they're not always stories that every little detail is as important as every other detail. They're principal stories, lesson stories. But all of it, as the old preacher might say, from cover to cover, has a powerful origin. From God's mind to us, carried along by God's Spirit. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love knows what we need. It knows us better than we know ourselves because You created us. You knit us together in our mother's womb. You've called us into being and You've called us to Yourself. And Father, today, help us to grasp the seriousness of Your Word. Serious because of the powerful origin that came from Your mind through Your Spirit to individuals who would write it down, who would share it, who would make it known. And God, today, as we consider what that means in our life today, for those times where we've gazed into Your Word and we've not liked what it said, and so we've dismissed it as irrelevant, may we be filled with a spirit of repentance and obedience that would recognize that this came from You. Father, there are things in Your Word that are difficult to understand. They're difficult to put into practice. They're difficult to apply. And Father, instead of dismissing it, may we grasp the powerful origin in such a way that we seek Your help in knowing how it's useful. Father, when Your Word tells us that all Scripture is profitable, it's useful, may we believe that in such a way that we go to You and we come to You and we embrace You in our search for those passages and stories of the Bible that confuse us. May we allow your Spirit, the one that carried your word along to begin with, to help us have greater understanding and greater application and greater obedience to the things found within your word. Father, for those times where we have that ongoing struggle of King of the Mountain, that we're trying to dethrone you so that we can be in charge, forgive us. Bring us to a full repentance. And whether that looks obvious to ourselves or to others, or whether it's a subtle thing that we have let the teachings of this world have more authority than your word. Whatever the cause or source of our removing you from your position of authority, may we recognize that for what it is and reject it. Father, when we recognize and see the wisdom of this world replacing your wisdom, may we be bold enough to turn back to you. And Father, today as we live life, may we live with an obedient response to this powerful origin of your word. And because we believe in your word as being your word, as coming from you, may we not only refrain from this King of the Mountain game where we're trying to dethrone you, but may we deliberately acknowledge and lift and place Jesus in that position in our own life. That we today would lift him up so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Monday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.